Lovers in Lisbon by Barbara Cartland and read by Sophie Roberts for Saga Egmont. Author's note. If legends are to be believed, Lisbon was founded by the great god Ulysses. But it is true that the Greeks traded along the Iberian coast, and the large harbour of the river Tagus was for a long time called Olisibona, a name that is to be found on some of the earliest printed maps. Lisbon today, with its semicircle of seven hills sheltering the narrow flat land on the slow-flowing tidal river, is extremely beautiful. The people are smiling and welcoming, and the fish, fresh and delicious in the restaurants, and the many lovely churches, have an atmosphere that speaks of the faith of its people that has remained unchanged over the centuries. The narrow pavements in the old city are crowded by a colourful throng of tourists, the many hawkers of lottery tickets, the blind street singer with his guitar, and the fruit peddler with his barrow. Flowers are sold around the splashing fountains of Rossio, and the smell of coffee wafts from the cafes to mingle with the sharp, sultry breeze from the sea. It is all very unlike the hustle and bustle of more modern cities, and far more attractive. Outside Lisbon, Estoril, with its villas, expensive hotels, flowered terraces, and elegant shops, has become the home of many European monarchs and royalty who have lost their thrones. But while the last king of Portugal has gone, and with him most of the court, a small creek still bears the name, the Queen's Beach. Chapter 1. 1890. The manager stepped forward eagerly. Down the stairs, moving with a grace that had been acclaimed all over Europe, came the Duchesse de Montréal.
"Good morning, madame,"
he greeted her in French. She replied in Portuguese, which was his own language.
"Good morning, signor. It is a beautiful day."
"Beautiful, madame," he replied, "for the sun always shines wherever you go."
She smiled at him, and he added,
"The special carriage I have ordered will be arriving here in a few minutes, and perhaps, madame, you would prefer to wait in the salon?"
"No, I will wait here," the Duchesse replied.
As she spoke, she seated herself elegantly in an armchair in front of a writing desk. It stood in the centre of the large reception hall of the Grand Hotel. She looked very attractive as she did so, wearing a gown that had obviously come from Paris. Precious stones glittered in her small ears and on the long, thin fingers of her ungloved hands.
"Tell me," she inquired, as the manager hovered near her, "what has been happening in Lisbon since I was last here?" Even as she asked the question of him, she thought that it was most certainly a mistake. How could she bear to talk about Lisbon?
The last time she had stayed in what has been called the most beautiful city in Europe, she had suffered an agony of misery that she wanted so much to forget. It had not been beautiful to her then. Yet it seemed so ridiculous that it was 32 years since she had last set foot in the country of her birth. She remembered, she felt now, every single brick and stone of the city of Lisbon. She recalled the sunshine glittering on the sea, the beauty of the ancient buildings, and the flowers which were bountiful everywhere she looked, especially those in the sellers' baskets around the stone fountains. When she had arrived last night at the hotel and then smelt the familiar fragrance that was essential Lisbon, she knew that she had really made a mistake. Her first impulse, therefore, on waking this morning, was to leave immediately and return to Paris. Yet, having forced herself to come to Portugal, now that she was here, her pride, which was very much part of her character, would not let her play the coward. Once and for all, she would lay the ghost that had haunted her for so long, a ghost that she was afraid she would carry with her to her grave. She had tried hard to forget when she was being acclaimed lavishly in France, in Monte Carlo, in Greece, in Hungary, in Vienna, and in London. She had told herself that she would not think of him, she would not remember him, and she would try and try to forget everything about him. And yet, he was always there. If she closed her eyes, she could see.